This is Mary Jo McCurley at University Park United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas, and we are bringing you the series, The Wisdom of the Sages. Today, we bring you Frances Gannon. Welcome, Frances.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Tell us, we want to learn a little bit about you. So tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up not far from where we are sitting, right here in the church building, but my father was a home builder, so I lived in 11 different houses between the time I was born and the time I went away to college.
Wow.
So I never moved far from this geographical place, which I really was always grateful to my parents. They didn't move me in school, they left me in my same school, but we lived in a lot of houses because Daddy would remodel a house, someone would come along and like it and want to buy it, and my mother loved to do that. She loved to move and redecorate and, you know, look at an old house and see what it could be. And so she kind of helped him in that way, and they did it over and over and over.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Did you inherit that interest?
No. To be honest with you, I did. My husband and I married in 1971 and lived in an apartment for a year and then bought a house on Wentwood where we stayed for 27 years raising our children. We did not. I did not inherit that house wanderlust.
I gotcha. So you grew up here in University Park?
I did.
And you were a member of this church?
Yes. My parents joined in, I believe, in 1950 or 51. Mm. And I was baptized in 1952 here by Alcee Carlton.
Uh-huh.
No, wait. I'm thinking Alcee might have been the first pastor that I remember. I might have been baptized by Lance Webb.
Uh-huh.
I think he might have signed my baptismal certificate,
right.
And then Alcee. Right.
Wonderful. Mm. So you grew up in the youth group here?
I did. Sunday school, youth group.
Tell me about your experience with the youth group.
Well, it was a central part of my life, an important part of my growing up. Starting from junior high, of course, then we called it junior high. And I think we must have moved from Sunday school to the youth in seventh grade because we went to junior high seventh, eighth, ninth then. And we had a very active youth group all the years that I was here. It was, we did Wednesday night. I think we had family night a lot of those years on Wednesday night where everybody came, you know, the parents came, everybody came. We ate dinner in Fellowship Hall and then broke out into activities. And I think we had youth activities that night and then, of course, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was here for all of it and my friend group was pretty much here.
And did you go on the choir trips?
Oh yes, oh yes. That was one of the best parts of all of it. And some of us have been reminiscing recently about when we've seen Jody and Jonelle here at services recently. We have talked again about how much fun that was. We went on one before they came here with Richard Owens was our choir director, and then he might have been our choir director. Jody and Jonelle got married in June, I want to say, of 67, and came on board as staff and went on our choir tour kind of as their honeymoon.
I remember.
Do you remember that?
I sure do.
And Jonelle stayed with the girls in the church basements, and you know, they divided up and Jody stayed with the boys, and you know, what a honeymoon for them, right?
Right. Well, and you remember that's where we learned that Jonelle called Jody Poopshin.
Yes.
And we tortured him with that.
That's yes,
right.
Yes. But the choir tours were a very important part of all of that. We took Rejoice, the musical, which was cutting edge at the time.
Right.
Very new.
Right.
To be taking guitars and tambourines into churches.
Absolutely. So, you're told your dad was a home builder,
mm-hmm.
and your mom a stay-at-home mom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She helped him in the business with, you know, decorating and
right.
And with clients and that sort of thing.
And do you have brothers or sisters?
I don't. I'm an only child.
Yeah. And where did you go to college?
I went to Southwestern University in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
I was scheduled. I had wanted to go to what is now called Rhodes, but it was then called Southwestern at Memphis,
uh-huh.
which is not related at all to Southwestern and Georgetown. But I wanted to major in Latin. I knew I wanted to be a Latin teacher. And I also knew I wanted to be a little bit further from home than SMU. So, you know, I was afraid that if I went to SMU, it was just blocks away from my mother. And I was afraid she would not be able to let go.
Uh-huh.
So for me, I needed to get a little further away, and Southwestern and Memphis offered a wonderful classics degree. So I did early acceptance there, and so I knew from the spring of my senior year that that's where I was going to go. But then Martin Luther King was assassinated in the spring of that year, of my senior year in high school, and riots broke out in Memphis, and my mother had a good friend who lived in Memphis who said, I don't think it's safe for her to come here. I think it's the school is not in a good part of town. I am scared for her to come here. Well, that was all my mother needed to hear, so she said, make another choice.
Wow.
So there I was. I hadn't really looked at anything else. And my dear friend Libby, who is back in our church too, was going to Southwestern in Georgetown.
And that's
said,
Libby Fleming.
Libby Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
She said, why don't you come look at that with me? They have Latin. And they did. And I went and was able to, even though it was late by that time, late spring, early summer of that year, I was able to get a place in that freshman class. So that's where I ended up, and it turned out to be a wonderful place for me. Wonderful choice.
Well, you know, there are some pictures in the youth center now that we need your help and see if you can identify some of the people in the pictures. They're
certainly
old pictures, and they predate me, and I got here in 66, so you might be able to identify some people.
Yes, indeed.
So you graduated, and your degree was in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do when you graduated?
I met my husband right then at the end of my college career on a blind date in a wedding, in somebody else's wedding. He had flown down here from Pennsylvania to be the best man in this wedding, and it was actually the daughter of my mother's good friend. I was not that close to the bride, but my mother had said, oh, Francis will come home and be in the wedding, it's fine. So I did, of course, and was fixed up with this young man from Pennsylvania on a blind date, and you know, the rest of that is just history. We hit it off instantly, and he ended up moving down here,
as he should,
of course. And in that summer, and then we married the following December, which was the middle of my senior year, and all I had left to do was my student teaching. And Dallas Baptist University was willing to supervise that for me, but I still graduated from Southwestern. But I married in December and moved back to Dallas and did my student teaching at Kimball High School.
Wow.
And then I got offered a job teaching Latin at North Carolina High School in the fall of 72. It was a brand new school opening, and so much fun because they hired everybody right out of college. All of us were 22 and no idea what we were doing. And so we figured it out together, and it was fun. We had a very nice and very professional principal that they had put in place, and I'm sure there were many nights he went home pulling his hair out, but he guided us all through that first year of teaching.
He had two sets of children, right?
He did. He did. He had a whole building full of children trying to be teachers. But it was very much fun, and I taught. When I got there in August for in-service, they said, oh, we forgot to tell you, not enough people signed up for Latin, so we have given you all English, which was my other major. And, you know, at that point, what do you say? You need the job, so you right. say, okay. But I spent that year talking up Latin to my English classes, and so I was able to build a program 1 year at a time. I got 1 year of Latin, one the next year, and then they went on, and I got another one. So eventually, I had all Latin, which is what I wanted. So.
And what did your husband do?
He started out in the selling landscaping, actually, for North Haven Gardens, but then switched to air conditioning and heating, and that's how he finished his career in the air conditioning and heating business.
And I assume you're both retired now?
We are. We are, and enjoying it very much. I highly recommend retirement.
And do you have any children?
We do. We have two children, a girl and a boy. We had 1 year apart.
Wow.
I was teaching and was going to, our daughter was born in December. I had been teaching 7 years, I guess, 6 or 7 years. And I was going to go back after I had been home with her for a little while. And then we were surprised that our son was coming along. So at that point, I was able to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, which I am very grateful for those times that I did the whole preschool PTA. My children came here to UP to the preschool, to our weekday school.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to be in when Mary Martha Circle was born. In those years, I was one of the first Mary Martha people.
Tell us what that is.
Oh, that Mary Martha Circle is one of the circles in the United Women in Faith. Am I doing that right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been around long enough. When my mother was in it, it was the USCW.
Exactly.
The Women's Society of Christian Service.
Right.
And then, of course, morphed into the UMW, and now we are the United Women in Faith. And they started a young women's circle there in the late 70s. My daughter was born in 77, so yeah, it was when she was a little one that Marguerite Daniel was my mother's best and dearest friend, and she was the one, I think, that kind of spearheaded getting some young women together and suggested that I might enjoy that.
And what are your children's names?
Oh, I'm sorry, Emily,
mm-hmm.
and then we had Greg shortly thereafter, the next year.
And what do Emily and Greg do?
Emily is trained as a special ed teacher. She actually worked at the church when she was in high school, after school, in the weekday, well, in the after-school care. There was an after-school care program that partnered with Higher. The kids would come over from Higher and stay until their parents could pick them up. And she worked as a youth worker in the after school. And Gloria Thomas, of course, was here then as the children's director. And she said, Emily, you should be a teacher. You just are natural with these kids, and you should be a teacher. And of course, Emily said, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to do something else. And, you know, maybe because her mother was a teacher, she was like, I don't want to do that. So she got her degree in communications and wanted to be a writer. But she ended up, surprisingly enough, back in education, which we're not surprised, right? God usually knows
exactly
our path. And she taught first grade and third grade, and then discovered she really has a calling for the special needs kids, the behavior kids, the kids that don't fit somewhere else. So she went back and got some other certifications along the way. So that's kind of where her thing is. And our son is in the air conditioning and heating business as well. So
followed in his dad's
sort
footstep.
Of, yeah. Different yeah. company, but same kind of business.
Tell us who the people are that influenced you.
Oh, well. I've already mentioned a couple of their names, but I still remember some of the Sunday school teachers. I still remember actually Pam's mom. And all of
and
my
that's Pam Breyer.
Pam Breyer's mm-hmm. mother mm-hmm. was one of my Sunday
Two
school
teachers.
Tugie Elkins was one of my Sunday school teachers. Of course, Marguerite and Robert Daniel were mm-hmm. my parents' best friends, and they were in this church as well. Virginia and James Wiley, of that, you know, all the generation of our parents'
right.
ages taught Sunday school. One Sunday, we were in Sunday school in fourth grade, and somebody told us, well, you know, we need a teacher. We don't have a teacher for this class. And I said, out of the, I don't know where I got this, I said, my father will be glad to do it. Went home and told him that I had said that, and he was very, very shy. He was, you know, a man who was not one of those comfortable teaching fourth grade Sunday school, but he did it. He said, well, okay, you know, and so he came right up and jumped right in. But all of those people, and of course my timeline will be a little spotty, I'm sure. Mitzi Cleaver was a big
yes.
influence
mm-hmm.
on me. She, and of course Gloria Thomas, taught me everything that I know about early childhood. I was trained as a secondary, of course. All my education was secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And then in those years when I stayed at home, I started, my daughter was afraid to go into the childcare room. She was one of those kids that wouldn't let go, that was crying. So I asked if I could go in with her and help. And they said, sure. So I started going into the childcare room and helping. And then I thought, well, I wonder if there's a curriculum for twos that we could break out. And Gloria was on, you know, was okay with that. And so she said, sure. So we broke out the two-year-olds across the hall from the childcare room and started a class. And we got curriculum. And everything I know about that I learned from Gloria. Because two-year-olds are not like high school kids. Let me just say. But I ended up staying in that position for 26 or 7 years.
Wow.
Down in the Sunday school wing. And it's, you know, for years it was so much fun to watch the youth sing in the choir and be able to remember them when they were two.
Mm-hmm.
And watch them grow up, which is the most wonderful thing about this church for me, is the family, the sense of family that I have being here.
Right.
And worshiping with, you know, children and children of children.
Well, and I always remember you sitting in church with the Nuttings.
Yes. Yes, I've stopped in my list of people that have influenced me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Libby Nutting Fleming's parents, Bill and Billy, were like second parents to me. We were at each other's houses all the time, and they were certainly influential and members of this church and members of my experience here.
So what would you say has been your philosophy that has propelled you through life?
Wow. I think as I have gotten older, my spirituality has developed into realizing that if I seek God's will for what he would like me to be doing in my life, that's kind of my guiding philosophy. I didn't start out that way. I will have to confess, I started out being, you know, thinking I was in control of the world, and, you know, only kind of accessing God here and there, you know, kind of like I was the chairman of the board. Maybe he sat on my board, but, you know, he certainly wasn't the chairman.
Right.
But I have come to believe that that is not what works best for me. What works best for me is letting God be the chairman and guide my choices, guide my decisions.
Be in the driver's seat.
Be in the driver's seat, absolutely.
What do you see as the future of University Park Methodist Church?
I have, of course, watched this church grow, and I've watched it develop. I've watched it go through times where we were worried that our membership wasn't growing. But I think that we are here to serve a very, very special role in this community. I think that the people who come and visit and then end up joining say time after time, I felt such a welcome here. I felt such a friendliness here. We're not too big that we don't know each other, that we don't know when there's a visitor. We're located in a very, we're located in an area with lots of big churches, for sure.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know that we are in a place where we need to compete, because we offer something very different, I think, from the very, very large churches. But, you know, I don't know. For me, this feels right, and it feels like home, and I think that's true for a lot of people who visit here. We might not have the, you know, the biggest, shiniest youth program around, but we certainly do have, I think, a very inclusive home here to offer to those who come. So,
how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, well. Just, I think, as definitely as someone who loved kids of all ages. I have loved teaching. I never looked back as far as that being where God wanted me to be. I have always truly felt that was my calling. And to be able to do it on so many different age levels and in so many different ways was truly a blessing. So I think, you know, one of my favorite things is when one of my former students finds me on Facebook, you know, and we'll connect and say, is that you? So I'd like to be remembered as, you know, somebody who cared about kids and cared about making their lives better.
Well, thank you so much, Frances, and thank you for being such a devoted member of this church and helping us grow in so many ways. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for asking me.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast and hope you will be with us next week. May God be with each and every one of you until we meet again.